Good morning, everybody. It's so glad that we are together. That word impartation, God wants to give us something. Well, I'll tell you what, until he gives you the gift of seeing who he is, doesn't matter what else he gives you. God knows who he is, right? And so we're going to look at that because we're going to take communion today. And in communion, we have a moment where Jesus said, hey, no matter what you go through, no matter how life changes, no matter what happens in the world, remember who I am. Remember what I look like. Remember how much I love you. So we're going to look at that. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to take this time. We're going to have communion. And then we're going to have the elders come forward. And there's going to be a time of impartation, a time for God to open our eyes and help us see, open our ears and help us hear. So I want to encourage you just to get your hearts ready. For everybody who's online, if you have communion elements, you can get those ready. And we're going to take that time in prayer, praying for you as well. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm using the New Living Translation for this. Here's the Apostle Paul trying to help the church to remember how important communion is. I have handed down to you what came to me by direct revelation from the Lord himself. The same night in which he was handed over to the cross, the same night Jesus took bread and gave thanks. Then he distributed it to the disciples and said, take it and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember what I look like. He did the same with the cup of wine after supper and said, this cup seals the new covenant with my blood. Drink it. Whenever you drink this, do it to remember me. Verse 26, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the story, proclaiming our Lord's death until he comes. If I was traveling into Richmond and you were picking me up at the airport, it would help to know what I look like. If you had no picture of who I was when you got to that airport, you would spend a good long time alone there. If you had a wrong picture of who I was and went to that airport, you would be alone a long time, and you would question whether I even came at all. Do you want to know how you can be certain that you are not alone? You want to know how you make sense of a good God in the middle of a hard, bad world? Make sure you've got the right picture of who he is. Most people who claim to not believe in God or be against God, what they're really against is a wrong picture of him, not who he is actually. I always tell an agnostic or an atheist, I'd be like, yeah, if that was my picture of God too, I'd be right with you. Problem is, it's not who he is. Got a wrong picture. And communion is Jesus' way of saying, look, in this world, you're going to be tempted to think I'm what I'm not. This world is going to try to paint a picture of me and represent me in all sorts of wrong ways. So the reason why we come to communion is Jesus says, remember who I am. Remember what I look like. Now, I don't know what nasty school yearbook picture you got. I'm pretty sure you could be like, yeah, don't show that grade. All right? Because nothing's worse than the bad picture. Right? We took your worst yearbook picture and then chucked it up on a dating site. I don't think anybody would be wanting to get to know you. Well, you know, lots of people have given the world a really bad picture of God, and that's why they don't want to know him either. Because it's not who he is. Jesus is really clear. Here's who I am. Here's who I am. Remember who I am. Don't let this world define me. Don't let the brokenness of this world define me. This is who I am. On his most painful night, he said, that's when I want you to remember me. my most painful moment. That's when I want you to remember me. So in the middle of your most painful moment, you'll know who I am. So here's the deal. In our world, there are kind of three really bad pictures of God that are circulating all over the place. And I want you to then put them against what communion teaches us about him. First picture that's wrong about who God is, I want you to picture a really big fence. All right? And this fence, man, there's barbed wire on top. It would be painful and hard to get over this fence. And God's on one side of the fence. And over on the side where he's at, it's green. There's picnics and blankets and everything's going good. But that ain't the side of the fence you're on. You're on the other side. Where you are, it's dirt and weeds, and there's nothing to eat, and it's miserable and it's hot. Plenty of shade on the other side. A lot of people have this picture of God that there's this fence, and God's not interested in coming over it. And this fence kind of tells you, I've got to get there, but there's no way to get to him. That's the picture a lot of people have of God. He's over there, happy with the people he's hanging out with. He doesn't care that I'm over here, and there's no way I'm getting over there. Well, the Bible says from the very beginning of time, that was never the picture of God. How do I know? Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve choose sin, and when they choose to say, you know what? We're gonna do it our way. We're not going to trust this incredible, green, beautiful place we've already got. There must be something more. And they build a wall between them and God. What does God do? He comes searching for them. Hey, where are you? See, from the very beginning, God was always about finding us. You don't got to worry about finding him. He's all about finding you. And what communion does is communion gives us the moment in which Jesus said, this is how much I will do to get over the fence and find you, no matter how far you've gone. The scripture says in verse 24, Jesus says in communion, hey, this is my body, and this is what it cost me to get over the fence. That's how much I want you. Now, of course, we live in this world where people say, well, that's kind of nice, Pastor Sean, but, you know, I look around at a broken world and I see it. I'm like, no, this picture of Jesus says I'm in the middle of pain with you. Remember me on this night when I'm about to go through what no one could imagine. This is how much I love you. Oh, okay, Pastor Sean, but what about this whole thing? I mean, is there a God who's good and loves me? Really? Be okay if people go to hell? No, you know what this picture says? This picture says you got to step over his dead body to get to hell. Because that's how much he's gone after you. He's all the way to the doorstep saying, don't go there. You don't have to be there. I'm with you. Look, that's a wrong picture if you picture there's this giant fence that God doesn't care about. Because communion tells us the exact opposite. Second picture is a great big ladder, right? Great big ladder. And man, you got to get up there. And this picture says, I can get there. I just got to work hard enough. I just got to do all the right things. Well, the Bible says that's not the picture at all because there are a few problems with this. See, if you get a ladder, then you've got a caste system. You've got some people who are better than others. You've got pride. You've got division. Ladders say, I'm better than you. And the Bible says it's by grace through faith that all of us are saved. No one's done good to earn it. You see, and the problem with this picture is it's not what we do that's the ultimate issue. It's what's in here. I don't know in your house, our house is a little loose on this one. How many of you either grew up in a house or in a house now that when you go in the house, you got to take off your shoes? We only take off your shoe houses here? Okay. Jay, when I come over your house, I'm going to take off my shoes. Now, it's not that it's not your home, and it's not that you're not welcome. It's the problem. If you take those dirty shoes in the house, what are you going to do? Everything that's clean is going to get dirty. So you can't take the shoes into the house. Well, the Bible says that God's all about family and bringing his family together, and in his home, there's perfect love. That means if you and I go there, we're going to mess it up. Ain't going to be clean anymore when we show up. Because we don't know how to do that. Do all the good things you want. Still got muddy shoes coming in. So what does the scripture say? The scripture says that Jesus pours out his very life's blood to do what? Forgive us and cleanse us so we can come into the house and not ruin anything. That's the beauty of that picture. But the third wrong picture related to God is this, the old garbage dump. You know, we had a few of our college students graduation start VCU yesterday. Others are graduating high school. And you know, when those seniors are going for their senior picture and they're thinking about their backdrop, they're not like, hey, let's go find some garbage and I'll stand in front of that for my picture. That'll look great. See, people don't want to be around messy, smelly, nasty stuff. And when we think of God, a lot of us think about all the wrong things we've done in life, all the garbage we've got, and we think, well, God doesn't want to come be near this. But the truth is what the scripture says, that while we were yet sinners, while the trash and the garbage was all over the place, nobody wants to be around it, that Jesus died for us. I love this scripture. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Here's a scripture to encourage every time you think about this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. God's all about cleaning us and giving us new beginnings. And you don't have to be defined by the garbage of the past. See, all those pictures are wrong, but here's the right one. This picture of communion. Now, these aren't the most majestic communion cups we've ever had. But what most of us don't realize, especially in American culture, that Jesus was giving a picture of how he feels about us with communion. You see, in the Jewish heritage, nothing symbolized redemption and a new beginning and really this idea of salvation and blessing than really the idea of the Jewish wedding and marriage. Remember, in Jewish culture, women had no rights, no education, no power. And so in that culture, this idea of maybe a woman who had no possibility, and then there was this man who'd say, hey, I want to give you everything I own. And I want to take you from the life you've had, and I want you to live in all of the wealth and everything I have. Again, the Jewish culture is different than us, but most people don't recognize that when Jesus told us to take this cup, he was actually giving us a moment that was very, very, everybody in first century Israel would have been like, oh, okay, I get it. I get the imagery. So here's the story. You say when a son wanted to marry someone, saw that cute little girl walking through the middle of Nazareth, and said, man, or just got to know him. Or if the father said, son, that's the woman I want for you. We don't have the modern proposal going on. What happened back there is the father and the son would go to the future bride's home. And there at that home, they would begin to declare that, hey, we would like this woman to become the bride of this son. And it wouldn't just be this kind of romantic, kind of like, oh, let's get all the pictures for Instagram and stuff like that. It wasn't that kind of moment. No, see, when communion happened and there was kind of this picture of the Jewish proposal, which is very different in some ways than the American version, they would bring this thing called the ketubah. And this was actually a written document. It was a written document. Said, here's all we promise to do. Here's how we want to be faithful. Here's what we're offering. Here's the relationship, literally a contract. This is what we want. And this is what we're willing to do. And within that ketubah was this very important thing. It was called the bride price. Now, in our culture, you'd be like, well, you know, what's going on? Money, stuff like that. No. In that culture, it was super honoring. Saying, she is worth so much. Here's all the father and son are willing to give for her. And in the middle of that, if after that seemed like it was still going well, here's what the father and son would do. They would pour a cup of wine. And the son would take it and drink it. And then he would walk over to who? the bride. And if she took it and drank it, she was saying yes. Yes, I'm yours. That's the symbolism of the cup. Now what would happen is, if she came and drank it, then what would happen next is he would give her a gift in front of everybody. And it could have been a ring. But the whole reason it was given was it was a down payment. It was a seal. It was a sign to the whole world, this person's mine and everything I have is about to be hers. Here's the deposit, the beginning of our relationship. And once she received it, at this point, she was married. It's not like our engagement. It's like, no, she was betrothed at that point, and only a certificate of divorce could separate them at this point. Now, they didn't have a wedding then. What happened is the son and the father would then go away, and usually for a long time, it was very common after that big moment of betrothal that the son wouldn't see the bride for up to a year, easy. Why? Because what the son would do is the son would go back to the father's home, their patriarchal society, and what the son would begin to do is build another room or building attached to the father's house. He was busy preparing a place for his bride. Now, while that was happening, here's what the bride was responsible. At that point, she would always have that gift, that ring, as a symbol that nobody else, I'm already committed. She would start to wear a veil, even in public. We get that familiar experience more than ever. And she would focus on purification. The whole idea that when my bridegroom comes back, I want to be ready. And the whole idea, I want to be clean of all the past. I want to be clean of every other relationship and everything. And this whole idea, the mitzvah, the idea of the baptism was a big part of it. There were purity rituals involving what you and I would consider water baptism today. It was the idea of like, I'm nobody else's anymore. I'm only for one person. Everything's clean and ready for him. And then the beautiful thing is this, you know, some of you, Miss Angie's getting ready for Caleb to have his wedding and the invitations go out, but it didn't work that way back in Jewish culture. See, no one knew the time of the bridegroom's return. Because the bridegroom didn't choose the date, and if you can imagine it, neither did the bride. Guess who was in charge of the date when they came back together? The father or the son. Until the father said, now the house is ready, go get her. So if anybody asked the bride, hey, when's it happening? You know what they would say? He would say, only my father knows. And then the beautiful imagery of it would always, the groom would come at night with the groomsmen. The shout would happen. The shofar would be blown, and the bride would be ready with her lamp, with the oil, ready to go with that. And they would go, and where would they go? Back to the father's house, where they consummate the marriage, and then they would celebrate for 7 days. When Jesus says, here's the cup, I do. Do you? That's this moment. So forget about the fence, forget about the ladder, forget about the garbage dump. This is the picture of God. This is how he feels about you. So I'm going to ask you right now, if you would, I'm going to ask you to stand and prepare for communion together. Everybody at home online, asking you just to let the Lord to lead you in this time as well. So here's the ketubah. Here's the list from the Father and the Son of all the promises that he has for you. I promise to be faithful. I promise to be with you. What's the gift that's left with the bride? Ephesians 1:13. And now you have heard the truth and the invitation and good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Jesus, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own. He did this so we would praise and glorify who he really is. Don't let the brokenness of this world define your picture of God. And don't let your own brokenness and your own pain and your own fears, don't let that define your picture of God. Choose the faith that God's put in you today. Say, Jesus, I know this is who you are. And I say yes. So before we do this now, I'm going to ask you, if you're here today, you've never said yes to the proposal. If you're online today, you've never said yes. You can't drink this cup before you said yes, because that's what you're doing when you drink that cup. I'm just going to ask you to take a moment with the Lord right now. God, forgive us for all these wrong pictures. You're not far away with a fence between us. You gave your body to get past it, because the truth is we're the ones who put up the wall. Lord, forgive us and save us from the idea of the ladder, because we're too tired already. And we're not any good at being good. Lord, we think about some of what we've done and it grieves our heart. And your blood has forgiven us and given us a new beginning. As you're before the Lord right now, I'm just going to ask you to make a choice. On his most painful night, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you. Would you take and receive what he has done to be with you?" Now with this cup, this is the moment of salvation. Lord, this is the moment that we say, yes, you drank the cup. You drank it fully. You took all our pain, all our sorrow, all our suffering. And now we choose to say yes to you in this moment. Would you now receive the cup that was forgiveness of sins and a new relationship with him? Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask right now if the elders would come forward. If there's any way in which you need to receive the gift that the bridegroom has for you, the bride, today, this is the time. Because Jesus didn't just leave you with a promise, praise the Lord, from it. You've got it right here. He didn't just leave you with a promise. He also left you with a gift. And whatever your need is this morning, you are not alone. And you do not have to face it alone. And you do not have to have the answer. He has promised not just the cup, but the Spirit as well. So I'm going to invite you to do that in a moment. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a time of prayer. I don't know if we've got Pastor Brian coming or anybody else. He should be here. But we're just going to have a few moments of prayer. And we're going to have a few moments of worship. And so I'm just going to invite you right now. And once we do that, I'm going to let Pastor Anidra finish up the service, because as God moves today, he also wants to move tomorrow, especially that area of water baptism. Amen. If you're married to him, if you've said yes, make sure you've taken that step. Make sure you've taken that step to say, nobody else gets me anymore. I want to be cleansed of all the past. So, Lord, we just thank you right now for your goodness. And, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, as we take these next few moments of prayer, that you would guide and direct and move. Lord, every person in this room, Lord, every person online, they live for the moment where they would meet with you. It's right here, right now. So we're praying for those who have a need, that they would experience the gift of the Holy Spirit in their life in a new and a fresh way. Whether it is experiencing just the presence of God, whether it's for sickness, whether it's to hear a word about what we're going through, whether it is to have discouragement or heaviness broken over our life, Lord, we say yes to you. And so, Lord, now we ask that you would guide us in these next few minutes. I'm going to ask, as we continue in prayer for a few minutes, I'm going to ask if you would want just a new gift and work of the Holy Spirit in your life. I want to invite you to feel free to come up right now as we begin to pray together corporately. So feel free right now if there's a need in your heart. We're not going to wait for the music. Just feel free to step forward and let God speak to you now. Praise your holy name. Lord, we need you in this place. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so. Lord, break any spirit of fear. Break any spirit of worry in this place right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We just love you. Praise your name. Amen. Praise your name. As we pray, Pastor Anidra, why don't you just lead us in a moment of decision, and then the elders and the altar will be open for anybody who wants it.
We serve such a good God. And just to remember who he is and the price that he paid for each of us to show us how much he loves us is incredible. The love of the Father is so amazing. And I love how, you know, for the past few weeks we've been ending our service talking about how Jesus is inviting us to make a decision to say yes to him and to follow him. But when we're making that decision to follow him, it requires a step. And maybe some of you already took that next step this morning and you said yes to following Jesus and salvation this morning. But maybe there are some who need, the step is coming up to the altar this morning and receiving prayer. Maybe that's your step. But every one of us, in order to follow Jesus, we have to take a step. And so on the back of your connection card, on the back of your worship guide this morning, there's a connection card, or you can scan the QR code that's going to come up in a moment for our connection card. But I would just ask you, as we take a few minutes to worship this morning, that you would just pray and ask the Lord, what is the next step that you're asking me to take this morning? If it's to follow Jesus, then you mark that on your connection card. If it's to rededicate my life, you mark that. If it's water baptism, no matter the step, No matter the step, we want to know what step that God is asking you to take this morning. So as we spend the next few moments worshiping, if you just feel like you just need to come up here and get the elders to pray for you, or if you need to mark whatever your next step is, we want to say as a church family that we are making the decision to follow Jesus. We are making the decision to follow him. And whatever step, Lord, you're asking me to take, I'm saying yes to you. So for the next few moments, as we have a worship moment, would you make that decision? Can we take that step together? Just take a few minutes and ask God, what is the step that you want me to take? And then we'll close in a moment of prayer.